Continuing to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, chapter 18. Today's verse is text number 48. Na apsu snayat na kupyeta na sambhasheta jurjanai Navasita Napsusnayan Nakapyeta. Oh, they put the wrong verse up there. Oh, okay. Okay, so let's do it this way. Napsusnayan Nakapyeta Nasambashe Tuturjanai Navasita Totavasa. Srajam cha vidrishtam kvachit. Excuse me. Kashyapa Muni continued, "My dear gentle wife, never enter the water while bathing. Never be angry. And do not even speak or associate with wicked people. Never wear clothes that have not been properly washed. And do not put on a garland that has already been worn." Text number 49. Na, na. Uchis no chistam sandikanam cha.
No chistam sandikanam cha.
Samisham vrishalakritam.
Samisham vrishalakritam.
Bunjito dakya drishtam.
Bunjito dakya drishtam.
Pibenanjalinatvapa.
Pibenanjalinatvapa.
No chistam sandikanam cha. Samisham vishalaritam. Bunjito dakya drishtam. Pibenanjalinatvapa. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So Kashyapa Muni is giving further instruction to his good wife Diti. He recommends that never eat leftover food, never eat prasad offered to the goddess Kali, Durga, Chandika, and do not eat anything contaminated by flesh or fish. Do not eat anything brought or touched by a Shudra, nor anything seen by a woman in her menstrual period. Do not drink water by joining your palms. Purport. Generally, the goddess Kali is offered food containing meat and fish, and therefore Kashyapa Muni strictly forbade his wife to take the remnants of such food. Actually, a Vaishnava is not allowed to take any food offered to the demigods. A Vaishnava is always fixed in accepting prasad offered to Lord Vishnu. Through all these instructions, Kashyapa Muni, in a negative way, instructed his wife Diti how to become a Vaishnavi. Om Magyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Miritangena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Dochistam Chandikanam Cha Samisham Vishalaritam Bunjito Dakkaya Drishtam Pibenanjandali Nanjali Natvapa. Prabhupada explains in the purport that he is giving instruction through a negative way. There is negative instruction and positive instructions. In English, we say the do's and the don'ts. In Sanskrit, you say yama and niyama, which is backwards, the don'ts and the do's. The yamas are the don'ts and the niyamas are the do's. But in English, we have do's and don'ts. Don'ts and do's. So in Krishna consciousness, we also have do's and don'ts. So the four regulative principles are don'ts. Who knows what they are? Okay, you left out one thing. No eating of meat, fish, and eggs. No gambling or mental speculation. no intoxication, and no illicit sex. So mental speculation is gambling. Did you know that? Yeah, it's a gamble because you're speculating. Any speculation is a gamble. You speculate with the cards, or you speculate with your money, or you speculate with your philosophy. It's gambling. Therefore, we only speak what is authorized, what is bona fide, what is coming in parampara, or what is being inspired by the advanced Vaishnavas or the Acharyas or the Shastra. So these are the don'ts that he's giving to his wife. So the don'ts are very important and the do's are very important. What are the do's? What are the niyamas in Krishna consciousness? Chant 16 rounds. Associate with the devotees. Reading Prabhupada's books. Taking Krishna Prasad. Attending the morning program. And attending the evening program. The instructions are the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, because this is Prabhupada's movement. It's not my movement. It's not anybody else's movement. It's Prabhupada's movement. So whatever instructions Prabhupada gave for his movement, we must honor that. We should honor that. Anybody know what the ISKCON sandwich is? Have you heard of the ISKCON sandwich? Does anybody know what that is? Does anybody know what the ISKCON bullets are? Yeah, but what is the ISKCON sandwich? Hang on, go ahead. Morning program, seva during the day, and evening program. That's ISKCON sandwich. What are the two slices of bread in the sandwich? Bhagavatam and Gita. This is what Prabhupada recommended that we do in order to understand the philosophy. We study Srimad Bhagavatam, but this is the postgraduate course. And then we study Gita, which is the undergraduate course. Can you understand the postgraduate course if you do not take the undergraduate course? Yes or no? Can you understand calculus if you have not studied arithmetic? Can you become a high court judge if you don't become a lawyer? Okay. So Gita is very important. Yesterday I was telling this story. One man came to Srila Prabhupada. He was here in Bombay, and he was very proud. He said, "Swamiji, I can recite all the shlokas of Bhagavad Gita in 1.5 hour. Prabhupada said, "Yes, but can you live the Bhagavad Gita for 1.5 hour? So we have to live Bhagavad Gita. But if we don't study Bhagavad Gita, we won't know how to live Bhagavad Gita. So, the do's and the don'ts. So, Prabhupada explains here that the don'ts are teaching in a negative way. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. And teaching in a positive way is do this, do that. Which is a better way to teach, negative way or positive way? Who says positive? Who says negative? Only one person. People don't like to be told, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. They don't like to do that. So the better way is the positive way. So we want to make everything positive in Krishna consciousness. So we can take these instructions from Kashyapa Muni and make them positive. He says, never eat leftover food. So we can make that positive. Always eat fresh food. Never eat prasad offered to the goddess Kali. Always eat food offered to Vishnu. Do not eat anything contaminated by flesh or fish. Always eat that which is only prasadam. Now here, he's also mentioning certain things that are strictly for the Vedic times, 5,000 years ago. Do not eat anything brought or touched by a sudra. But nowadays, everybody is a sudra. Everybody. So, therefore, we have to fast our whole life, so that doesn't make sense. So these teachings, we should understand, are for Diti. It was given by Kashyapa Muni millions of years ago. Some of these instructions are still relevant today. Some of them are not relevant today. Just like this one about Shudra, because everybody is a Shudra. In Vedic times, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas were considered exalted, and the lower human beings were considered to be Shudras, Vaishyas, and women. Today, there are no Brahmins and Kshatriyas. Prabhupada said there are 3 paisa Brahmins, because in the 70s, that's how much it cost to buy a poita or Brahmin thread. They wear Brahmin thread, but they do not live Brahminical life. They do not have the Shakti of Brahmins. Neither do Kshatriyas have power or that they used to have, like Arjun or the Pandavas. So today, everyone is at level of Shudra, level of Vaishya. So the men have come down to that level. So now everyone is equal. It's an equal playing field. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come and taken these instructions and breathed new life into them for today's times and circumstances. Desh Kal Patra. Everything has to be determined according to Desh Kal Patra. According to time, according to the place, and according to the circumstance. What may be applicable in one time may not be applicable in another time. What may be applicable in one place may not be appropriate in another place. For example, here in India, or at least in Bengal, whenever you take prasad, you're served a banana leaf. On that banana leaf is a green chili and salt. Then they serve first something fried. Then they serve gradually, step by step. There's 6 tastes, and every taste goes one by one. There's a whole system in Bengal. Now, if you take the salt and you put the salt on the preparation before you eat it, no one says anything. However, if you go to New Zealand and you're offered food, and you take salt and you put the salt on that food before tasting it, that's a great offense. They're offended. It means that you, without even tasting it, you're putting salt. You offended me. So time, place, and circumstance. Very important. So we have to know. Like, for example, in India, if you give someone with your left hand, great offense. You've insulted them. I don't know if that's still true in Bombay, but in the villages of India, it's true, because that used to be the culture. But in the West, if you give something with left hand, no one even considers it. So time, place, and circumstance. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the process according to our time, place, and circumstance by which we can become Krishna conscious. So, the overriding consideration is Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. That in this Kali Yuga, because here, in this situation that Kashyapa Muni is speaking to Diti, this is not Kali Yuga. But now we are in Kali Yuga. So Lord Chaitanya quotes this shloka from the Brihadnaradiya Purana, that in Kali Yuga, There is only one method, Harinama. It's repeated 8 times so that you will understand it. Because in Kali Yuga, our memories and our intelligence is very, very decreased. So 8 times this is stressed. Do you know the 8 times or should I tell you? Okay, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama. That's 3 times. Eva means certainly. That's the 4th thing. In case you didn't get it, the first 3, I'm saying it's certain. 5th one is Kevalam, which means only. Only means that everything else is eliminated. In case you didn't get it, the first 4 times, the 5th time is Kevalam. Only this. Everything else is not acceptable. If you still didn't understand it, 6, 7, and 8, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Gotir Anyata, to attain the goal. And what is that goal? Krishna Prema. Harirnama, the holy name of the Lord. Why? Why the holy name of the Lord? Must be a reason, stressed 8 times, both positively, negatively, philosophically, and grammatically, in this one shloka. But why the holy name? Sorry? Because that's more accessible? That's indirectly true. Sorry? Non-different than Krishna, right. Kali Kale Nam Rupe Krishna Avatar. You see? So we're doing direct puja to Krishna when we chant Harinam. You do puja to Sri Murti, is it not? But only the pujari does puja to the Sri Murti. But when we chant Hare Krishna, we are doing puja to the Sri Murti of Harinam. Nam Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya is teaching that this is the Nam Prabhu. He is our master. He is our Lord, the holy name. Non-different from Krishna. Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, Mame Kang Sharanang Vaja, Ahang Twang Sarva Pape Bhyo, Moksha Ishyami Masuchaha. Is it not? Krishna says, just surrender to me. If Krishna and his holy name are non-different, then we can simply just surrender to the holy name. Is it not? Is there a difference? We surrender to the holy name. Then what will the Maha Mantra do? Ahang Tuang Sarva Pape Bhyo. That Maha Mantra will take away all our sinful activities. Not just from this life, but from the last life also. And the one before that, and the 100 before those, and the thousands before them. All those sinful reactions, all those negative karmas, the pap karma, are washed away. Also the punya karmas are washed away. All karmas, so your slate is clean. Mahamantra does that. Moksha ishyami. And the Mahamantra gives us moksha. What is that moksha that Mahamantra gives? That moksha is that we are able to enter into Krishna's Nitya Lila and serve Krishna to our heart's content forever and ever and ever, according to our own mood. Each and every one of us, each and every single one of us has a special, unique, loving relationship with Krishna that no one else has. Whatever your relationship is with Krishna, it's unique and special. Same with you, same with everyone here, each and every one of you. And the purpose of the human form of life is to realize that relationship that and to enter into that Nitya Lila. When we say the Nitya Lila of Krishna, we don't always mean the Nitya Lila with Radharani or the Nitya Lila with whoever. We also have our Nitya Lila with Krishna. Now, if we're speaking about Nitya Lila, Krishna's relationship and all his leelas with Radharani are already there. With the gopis are already there. With all of his eternal associates, his Nitya Parshad, they're already going on. Krishna is enjoying those relationships. But that unique relationship he has with us, we are depriving him of that pleasure. Because we are created to have this wonderful, unique rasa with Krishna, but we have decided that we're not so interested. We're going to find our own rasa and our own pleasure here in the material world, whatever it may be. Birth after birth, we're searching for that ananda, for that amrit. Everyone is working hard day and night to get happiness. Anybody disagree? Everybody agrees. Is anybody working day and night to get dukkha? No, everyone is working for sukh, right? No one's working for dukkha. Am I correct? Or are there people who are working hard to be unhappy? Are there? No. But yet dukkha comes. No one wants it, yet it's coming. No one's giving any energy to it, yet it comes. Similarly, you don't have to give any energy for the sukh because that will also come on its own. But that dukkha and that sukh, that sorrow, or misery, or that happiness and pleasure, is all ashashvatam. It's temporary. Matra sparshas tukonteya sita ushna sukadukada sita ushna. Like summer and winter, one follows the other. And it's temporary. Summer is temporary, winter is temporary, comes and goes, has a beginning, a middle, and an end. Just like our life has a beginning, a middle, and the end, and then over. Finished. Next birth. So, that Nitya Leela we have with Krishna is where our real happiness comes from. That real ananda, that sat chit ananda, that eternal ananda full of knowledge. We are cheating ourselves by coming to this world and searching for that happiness in this temporary world, in finding it in bank balance, in a marriage partner, or whatever. Who knows what people find happiness in? Intoxication, meat eating, whatever. It's all cause of suffering. But the holy name, Mahang Tuang Sarva Papebhyo, will release us from all of that. Whatever Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the holy name can deliver. Mahamantra can deliver. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Krishna and his holy name are non-different. Therefore, anyone who engages tesham satatam yuktanam, always constantly engaged in serving Mahamantra, serving the holy name. How? Bhajatam, by worshipping. Priti purvakam, with full love. Tadami buddhi yogam tam. Mahamantra will give us buddhi. What kind of buddhi? The buddhi yoga. How to unite. How to have sambandha jnana, relationship with Krishna. Yena mam upayanti te, so that you can come to Krishna. We begin our relationship here, the purification and the beginning of the relationship, so that we can go to Krishna when we are ready, when we are purified, when we are deserving. Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. Many people are desiring, but they're not deserving. Just like I gave the example before, someone may desire to be high court judge, but he's not even a lawyer. How he can, doesn't deserve to be high court judge. Not qualified. He has no adhikar. So we must have the adhikar to get the result. So for proper desiring. Otherwise our desiring is like a fool's desiring. Yenamuam Upayantite, so that we can come to Krishna. What else does the holy name do? Let me tell you. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smitir gyanam apuanam cha. Krishna says, I'm seated in everyone's heart, and from me comes knowledge, from me comes remembrance, but also from me comes forgetfulness. So, the holy name should also be within our hearts. If we're Vaishnavas, if we're devotees, that Maha Mantra should be in our heart. And that Maha Mantra will give us knowledge, will give us remembrance of our Nitya Lila. But if we are offensive, if we have other desires, material desires, then everything will be covered. We will not remember. We will not have that knowledge. We will be in avidya. Instead of vidya, avidya. Ignorance. Ignorance just means lack of knowledge, that's all. Doesn't mean you're stupid. You can be very intelligent and be ignorant. Some of the world's greatest scientists, they are ignorant of Krishna is God. They're intelligent, but ignorant. They have no knowledge. Prabhupada used to say that the greatest scientists in the West do not have the same understanding as a rickshawala in India. Because a rickshawala in India knows who is Ram and who is Krishna. But the greatest scientists in the West, they do not know this. Because there is no culture there. Whereas here in India, there is still some remnant of culture, although in Bombay is very hard to find. Even I've heard people say that Bombay is not even part of India anymore. It's the West. Because all the bad habits and all the negative things of the West, people are embracing here. Even though they see that in the West, everyone is rejecting it and coming here. Prabhupada referred to this as the new crows and the old crows. You know that? You heard it before. So we're the old crows from the West. We've been involved in that garbage for a long time and we're finished with it. But the Indians, they're thinking, oh, this is something really nice. So they're the new crows going to the West thinking that they're going to get something wonderful. But after some time, the Indians that went 30, 40 years ago, they also become the old crows. They realize we made a big mistake. Now they want to come back and live in Bharat Bhumi. However, they cannot correct their mistake because their children have now become westernized, no longer interested in dharma. They lost their children on the way. And that's how it works, because the children, they go to their Western schools and they associate with the Western boys and girls and they learn all the bad habits and they think it's normal because there it's normal. We've spoken to some of these children. Their parents take them to India and they come back and we ask them, well, how did you like India? They hated it. No sense gratification. Too difficult, you know. They don't have all the latest gadgets and everything. So the children are spoiled. Parents went there hoping for a better life, but their hearts were broken because they lost their children along the way. We shouldn't make that same mistake. If we have understanding, if we have real knowledge, we should understand what is gold and what is iron. A fool cannot tell the difference. What is gold and what is brass? To him is yellow, same. But if you know what is gold, then you'll take that and put the brass down. So Prabhupada always used to say that this Vedic culture is gold. But if they do not know what is gold, they will accept the imitation, thinking it's better. So, the process of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is to accept the holy name and surrender to the holy name. Now, this verse that I said to you, Sarva Dharman Parityaja, give up all other dharmas. Mame Kangshanaram Ja, just surrender unto me. This is what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. Arjuna, don't worry about all these other dharmas. Just surrender to me, because if you surrender to me, your life will become perfect. Everything will be taken care of. I'll wipe away ahang tuang sarva papebhyo. Whatever sins you may commit will not go to you. They'll come to me. I will take them, Krishna says. I will wipe away all the past sins and any new ones, they come to me. You don't have to worry. Is that a good deal for us? Now, Krishna is speaking to us, to all mankind. He's saying, if you surrender to me, make me number one. Now, Krishna says, Mam ekang saranang vaja. What does it mean? Krishna wants to be number one. Why he wants to be number one? Why not number two or number three? Why number one? Because he is number one, that's true, but that's not the reason. Why does he want to be number one? He knows he's number one, but why does he want to be number one for us? Why does he want us to make him number one? Because it's a loving relationship. When you love somebody, they become number one. And you become number one for them. That's what love is. There's friends, but friends aren't number one. But when you love somebody, you meet that one person, you give your heart to that person. That's called love, and that person becomes number one. So Krishna is begging you to make him number one. We are very insignificant, right? You come to India, and there's over 1 billion people here. If one person is lost, it doesn't matter. Things will go on. But look how important Krishna is. You know how important Krishna is, how significant Krishna is? Let me just tell you. We know that in Golok Vrindavan, there's a young cowherd boy who plays the flute and enjoys. His name is Krishna. But is that all that he does? That's not all that he does. When he wants to create, he expands himself in a gigantic form of Vishnu and lies down on the Karanadakshay, the causal ocean of creation. And as he exhales his outgoing breath, from his pores, millions of universes come out. Brahmandas, jagats. And of all those universes that come out, amongst all of them, one of them is our universe that we're in right now. That if you go to any college, any university, in any country in the world, they will tell you it's infinite. There is no end, no beginning, no end. But yet, from Krishna's body comes, and from Vishnu's body comes millions of these infinite universes. For him, it's nothing. Because as he breathes in again, they all merge back into his body. And in his next outgoing breath, out comes other millions of infinite universes. This is Krishna who plays on the flute. Now, out of all those universes, one of them is our universe. And in this one universe of ours, there are so many galaxies that seem infinite. You have to use the telescope to just get an idea of one. And out of all those galaxies in this one universe, there's one galaxy, R1, the Milky Way. And in that Milky Way galaxy of ours, there are millions of stars and suns. And amongst all of those, there's one sun, that's our sun. You see it rising and setting every day. And surrounding that sun, there are so many objects whirling about, so many planets and asteroids and planetoids and comets and what have you. And all those things orbiting that one sun is our one planet, planet Earth. And that on that one planet Earth, there are so many countries. And amongst all those countries is our one India. And in India, there are so many states. And amongst all those states is one state, Maharashtra. And in Maharashtra, there are so many cities. And amongst all those cities is one city, Mumbai. I'm sorry. And of all the streets in Mumbai, there's this one street out here. And of all the buildings on that one street, there's this one building, this temple. And in this temple, there are so many people. And of all those people, there's one person, me. And I'm thinking, I'm very important. This is called avidya. Just see how great that Krishna is. And that Krishna wants to have a loving relationship with me, with each and every one of you. Is that not amazing? Are you amazed? Why would he even consider it? Now, not only does he want you to be number one in his life, he's already made you number one in his life. And he's saying, please give up everything. Make me number one because I love you so much. Will you please also reciprocate and love me? That Krishna is saying it to us. And because we're not interested, he says, look, I'll make you a special offer. I'll wipe away all your sinful activities from the past lives, present lives, future lives. Ahang tuang sarva papebhyo. All these pops I'll wipe away if you make me number one. Is that a good deal for us? You think that's a good deal? Is Krishna offering us a good deal?
Yes.
But you know what? We're not interested. So Krishna gives a bonus. Moksha ishyami. I'll even give you moksha. Clean away all your sins. Give you moksha. Now is it a good deal for us? Even better, no? Then why we are not taking it 100%? Krishna then says, Ma suchaha, have no doubts. What does he mean when he says have no doubts? He says, it means trust me. For you I make no profit. But when Krishna says Ma suchaha, he's not like the wala in the street who's lying. He says, Ma suchaha, I'm telling you the truth. This is God's truth. Have no doubt about it. Just let us come together in a loving relationship. And why Krishna wants this so badly? Why Krishna wants to have a loving relationship with each and every one of us so badly that he's willing to make such good deal for us? Why? Who knows the answer? You should know the answer because we're devotees and we're trying to enter into the devotional life, which means the life of loving service. The answer is this, that Krishna is feeling separation from that unique relationship that he has with us. We are depriving him of that nectar, that ananda that he has in our eternal loving relationship. They say that God has everything, but the one thing he doesn't have is our love, because we are not giving. God has everything, but except our love. Will we give? Will we give our love to God? We give it to the wife, we give it to the husband, we give it to the job, to the bank balance, to the country. People lay down their life for country. But do they give to Krishna? No. This is simply due to avidya only. They are ignorant. We are not ignorant because we have been given this understanding by our Guru Maharaj. Of course, if you don't study the books of Srila Prabhupada, then you will not know this. If you don't chant Mahamantra attentively, take shelter of Mahamantra, your consciousness will not be purified. Everything will be covered and blocked. You will not understand these things. But you're all sitting here today. It means you want to understand these things. It means you want to come to a higher level, higher understanding, deeper, more profound understanding. You all want that. That's why you're here. Now we have to become serious in prosecuting Krishna consciousness. We have to become serious. We have to realize that this is not just some dharma. It's not just one path amongst many. But this is serious business. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of life and death. Eternal life or repeated birth and death. Repeated birth and death. Now what happens if you don't go back to Godhead in this life and you have to take birth again? Have you ever thought about it? What will happen to me? No. Well, let me tell you what will happen. You'll come out of a mother's womb again, but you'll have no choice of who that mother is. Maybe a Chinese mother, maybe African mother, maybe Eskimo mother, maybe Argentinian mother, who knows? Maybe meat-eating mother. Then you'll be taught how to go to the toilet. Then you'll be taught how to walk, how to talk, how to put on your clothes. They'll teach you how to read and write in that language wherever you take your birth. Then you'll go to school for 20 years or so. First 20 years of your life and your next birth, you learn everything that you already know now. Is it not? Now, I had a great idea for a movie. It's a comedy, you see. And what it is we have one man, and he lives a life, and every life he takes birth again in another body. And every life he has to learn over and over again how to read, write, walk, talk, go to school, everything that he learned in previous life. And you see it over and over again. He's learning it over and over and over. And everybody's laughing. But that's us. How many times do we have to learn how to read and write? How many times do we have to learn how to walk and talk? It's a joke. The demigods are laughing at us. We are fool number one. When are we going to get it? Have you ever seen the rat? He's running on this circular thing. It's going round and round. He's staying in the same place. He thinks he's moving somewhere. He's staying in the same place. That's what's happening to us. We're not moving. We're not going anywhere. We're learning everything we already knew over and over again. When you take birth again, your next life, you'll have to learn how to walk and talk. You know how to walk and talk. You'll have to learn to read and write. You already know it. You know how to go to the toilet, but you'll have to learn because for the first 2 years, you'll have to wear nappies, diapers, and your mother will have to clean you because you'll have forgotten everything. That's the point. You forget everything. As soon as you take birth again, you forget everything you already knew, and you have to start all over again. Is this a waste of time? Who considers this a waste of time? So why don't we make good use of our time and finish up our business right now in this life? Return to that Nitya Lila. Well, we don't have to go through this birth, death, old age, and disease. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. Birth after birth after birth after birth, again and again and again and again and again and again and again. And there is no guarantee that you'll get a human birth. For us, maybe there's guarantee. But for those people out there, there's no guarantee that they won't get animal birth. So my question is this. Krishna says, make me number one, and I'll take away all your sinful activities and give you moksha. You understand this shloka? What if we fail to make Krishna number one? Supposing I try my level best, but still I'm attached to some material things. I'm trying to make Krishna number one. I'm trying to give up all other dharmas, but I'm still attached. Then what happens? What do you think? Do we have to become perfect in this life in order to go back home, back to Godhead? He says yes. He says yes. Everybody else say yes? She says, what do you say? Yes. Who says no? I say no. Anybody else say no? You don't have to become perfect. Ananyaschintayantumam yejana pariupashate nityabhiyuktanam yogakshema vaham yaham. Krishna says that if you think of me always, you may not be successful, but you're thinking of Krishna, you're trying your level best, nityabhiyuktanam, you're always engaged in his service, then yogakshemam vaham yaham, I will carry what you lack. Whatever you lack, Krishna will make it up. If you're only 90% successful, 90% Krishna conscious, Krishna will take care of the other 10%. Because matta smritir jnanam, from him comes this knowledge, from him comes that remembrance. What is that remembrance? What is that smriti that I am eternal servant of Krishna, Nitya Krishna Das. Now I have forgotten. Now I'm thinking I'm Indian. You look in the mirror every day, and you think I'm a man or I'm a woman. Every day. I look good or I look terrible. We're thinking we're the body. We are acting moment to moment to moment as if we are the body. Even though we've been taught we're not the body. So we need Krishna's help. We are completely and totally conditioned by this bodily concept of life. That is the truth. So we need Krishna's help. Yoga kshema vaham yaham. Whatever you lack, I will carry that. I will make it up. And whatever you have, I will preserve. Carry what you lack and preserve what you have. So whatever you have, you will not lose it. And whatever you don't have, Krishna will make it up. And then mokshishyami. Krishna wants you to go home, back to Godhead, to enter into his nitya lila because he loves you. For him, you are number one. He wants you to make him number one so that you can engage in those pastimes. Has anybody read Brihad Bhagavatamritam? Nobody. Really? Okay. One sadhvi. So it's the story of one Gopakumar. And Gopakumar wants to go back home, back to Godhead. He wants to find what is the most perfect place. Finally everywhere he goes, they say, no, this is not, you go higher. So finally he comes to Golok Vrindavan. And when he arrives in Golok Vrindavan, Krishna's there with the gopis and his friends. And all of a sudden, Gopakumar walks into Vrindavan and Krishna sees him. And immediately, Krishna's in ecstasy. He runs over to Gopakumar. He embraces him. Tears coming from his eyes. And everyone in Vrindavan, all the gopis, they're looking. Who is this person Krishna's loving so much? But that's us. When we come back home, back to Godhead, this is how Krishna responds. He comes running to us, embraces us, tears from his eyes. Oh, he's been feeling our separation for so long. And everybody in Vrindavan is saying, wow, who is that most fortunate person who Krishna loves so dearly? So what are we doing staying here? What is there here for us? Except old age and disease, and then rebirth again. To learn everything over again that we already knew. Does it make sense? Does it make sense to come back again? It doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Only a person who's foolish or ignorant cannot understand this point. So, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's brought us the teachings of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, which are the same teachings in the Bhagavad, but for this time, this place, this circumstance, most appropriate for us, the fallen, conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. Out of the supreme mercy of the Lord, You're giving us a process that we can handle, that we can actually accomplish. Krishna will not give you something that you cannot do. He will not give you an obstacle that you cannot come over. That is not logical. So this we can do. But we have to be awake. We have to be alert. We have to be conscious. Then we can understand. Yesterday we were talking about, the day before, I forget already, old man. We were talking about pramatta, inattentive while chanting, inattentive while hearing. Why are we inattentive? Prabhupada says because we're not interested. When you're not interested, what is the word? You're bored. It's boring. I'm sorry to bore everybody. But I'm only speaking what is coming in parampara, what my Guru Maharaj has asked me to speak. He told me in 1976, in November, in Vrindavan, he looked me right in the eye. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, you tell them about Krishna. So I have to do it. The direct order from my Guru Maharaj. Please don't mind. I hope that I've said something that will be to your benefit. So always take shelter of the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And chant this Maha Mantra like you just did to let Krishna know that you really care. Now it says in the Shastra that if one person, any person, at one time chants the Maha Mantra without any offenses, he can develop pure love for God. Do you know this shlok? You've heard this before? That's what we're going to do right now. We're going to do it. Everybody sit nicely. We're going to chant the Maha Mantra without any offense. We're going to concentrate. Nothing else is going to be in our mind. Our hearts are going to be full of devotion and love for Krishna. We're going to forgive everybody who ever caused us pain and suffering. We're going to forgive them. We're going to give blessings to everyone. We're going to close our eyes. We're going to chant the Maha Mantra offenselessly right now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now you're situated in the platform of pure devotion. And if you can do it once, you can do it twice. And if you can do it twice, you can do it four times. So job number one now is to stay on this platform of pure devotion. Don't fall down again to mundane consciousness. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Are there any points for discussion? Yes, sir.
Hare Bol.
Microphone not working? Okay, just weak. Give some Shakti.
Hare Bol.
Yeah, give some more volume on this mic.
Hare Bol. Hare Bol.
Yes.
Thank you very much for a wonderful class.
Thank you.
It was really eye-opening.
Thank you.
As you said very clearly in the class, that the main business for any devotee who has come into Prabhupada's shelter has to finish his business in this lifetime itself. There should be no other priority in our life. The only priority is to see that we finish our business in this lifetime. I would like to get a very hardcore realization of yours. Is that as you said, that we are staying in Bombay and the destruction of outside world is so strong. On one side, we being a householder and we have to go out and work outside, make our living, and the destruction is so high. At the same time, we don't want to compromise our goal very clearly. Although we are outside, but we don't want to give our heart over there. We just want to do the needful and get out from there and make our commitment very strong in Krishna consciousness. Now, I wanted to get your realization that you being in Krishna consciousness last so many years, And there would definitely be many ups and downs in your Krishna consciousness due to mental agitation, outside world, everything. Because everybody has mental conditioning, shortcoming. We have to directly overcome it and make that commitment very hardcore. And we don't want to compromise into that. So even we too also have to face those things and to make that commitment very strong. I would like to know, what is the main important thing a devotee has to keep in his mind and not compromise? And that thing should be so strong that whenever those obstacle comes in our life, we will be able to pass through it and our commitment remains as hot as ever till our last breath of our life.
So I've already spoken a whole class about what is the most important thing. And that is the holy name. It's non-different than Krishna. We keep Maha Mantra in our heart, in our mind. When Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, before they met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were Dabarkas and Shakar Malik. They were working for the Muslims to destroy Vedic culture, to destroy cow protection, to destroy Brahminical life. So when they heard of this great saint, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wrote to him and explained their situation, saying that we want to leave immediately and come and take shelter at your lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya wrote them back a letter. And this is what he said. He said, "Do not leave. But you do your duty just like a woman who is married but has a paramour. She performs her household duties very nicely so their husband will never suspect that in her heart is another man who she's always thinking of." So he said, you do your duty for the Muslim government, but in your heart you always think of Krishna, you always worship Krishna, you always pray to Krishna to deliver me from this situation. And in due course of time, I will come there and deliver you. So you have to do your duty. You're in that situation now. So I give you same instruction. Do your duty, but externally, but internally, you're always focused on Krishna. Krishna Seva. And what is the topmost Krishna Seva? The most important Krishna Seva of all others is Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatir, Anyata. Prabhupada said, and I don't know if you've been told this, but he said it several times, there's no need for any other service except chanting Maha Mantra. But because all of you in Kali Yuga are so restless, I've given all these other services to engage you. But actually the only service you need to do is chant the holy name. Chant the holy name, chant the holy name. Because it is Krishna. It's non-different than Krishna. When we chant purely, the name on our tongue is Krishna dancing on our tongue. Krishna's dancing on our tongue. We don't perceive it because we're covered, we're conditioned. But as we become purified, we experience that. Rupa Goswami wrote, how much nectar is in the two syllables, Krishna, that I desire millions of ears and millions of tongues simply to relish that nectar, that amrit, that ananda for chanting the holy name, Krishna, Krishna.
I'm very thankful, but the problem
in your mind, you can be chanting Hare Krishna no matter what you're doing. No matter what service you're doing, in your mind you could be chanting Hare Krishna, you can be thinking of Krishna. No matter what else you are doing, is it not?
I would like to know that the taste which you are saying it, I have not reached to that standard. What is the thing I have to keep in my mind to get that taste? Because till the time I have not got the taste, I will be still be hankering for those material
because
enjoyment.
You are not attentive when you chant, your mind wanders. Why your mind is wandering? Because, why you're inattentive? Because you are more interested in the thoughts that you're thinking, your attachments to material life. You're more interested in that than you are interested in chanting the holy name. It's a matter of your interest. Now, it's a matter of what you care most about. Do you care most about chanting Hare Krishna mantra, or do you care most about your dreams, your future dreams, or solving your today problems of paying your bills or whatever? What is it that you care most about when you're sitting down and chanting the holy name? You see? If your mind is going and your consciousness is going with your mind and away from chanting Hare Krishna, means that that's what you're more interested in, that's what you care more about. You have to change that. Your care and your interest has to be for Maha Mantra. That is called internal work. You have to now use your intelligence to understand what is my real interest. Now, it's 24 hours in a day. Let's just take 2 hours and give that exclusively to Krishna. And I promise, I make a promise to Krishna, I will not think of anything else, only of you for 2 hours. If I cannot do it for 2 hours, I make a promise for 1 hour. If I cannot do it for 1 hour, I make a promise, one mala. I will give you Krishna one mala only. Full concentration, full interest, full care, full love. If I cannot do that, then at least one mantra I will give to Krishna. I have to start somewhere and then increase. We just did one mantra together like that. So you have to be like that, fixed. Start with one mantra, two mantras, then a mala, then several malas, then 16 malas. And increase. You have to start step by step. That's all. You've already taken the first steps. But now continue with enthusiasm. You have enthusiasm, but also be patient. Rome wasn't built in a day. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. You spoke about how we need to develop a loving relationship with Krishna and how he wants us to be, how he wants us to make him number one in his life, in our life, and how he has made us number one. Can you explain how he's made all of us number one?
Because he's on the absolute platform. We're on the relative platform. On the absolute platform, everyone is number one. In the relative platform, only one person can be number one, and everyone else is number two, three, four, or five. So let's talk about that. What is love? Is love an emotion or an experience from this world? Or is it a gift from the spiritual world and it's actually a spiritual emotion? What do you think? Love is from the spiritual world. Has nothing to do with this planet. It's a gift from God that comes with us, with the Atma. Because if there was no love in the world, we would have no concept that a God even existed. Because everyone would just be thinking for themselves, and it would be dog eat dog. You wouldn't care for anybody else. But because there's love, and we put other people before ourselves, someone else's benefit before my benefit, this gives us an understanding of a higher consciousness. So I can love my wife and my children as all number one, because love is a spiritual emotion. It's not that wife is number one, children number two. They're all number one. So for Krishna, we're all number one. But for us, we have material consciousness, so we're thinking only one person can be number one. Just like if I meet you for the first time, then the next time I meet you is the second time. But Krishna meets Radha for the first time so many times, again and again, meeting for the first time and experiencing that wonder and that wonderful experience of meeting someone for the first time. Radha and Krishna meet for the first time in so many different situations and experiencing that over and over and over again. Because in the spiritual world, everything is present. Everything is eternally here and now. And in the material world, there is no present. It's only the future flowing into the past. Future flowing into the past. You cannot grab the present. As soon as you grab it, it's gone. I may think of a word. Krishna. Now it's gone. I thought of it, I said it, gone. It's in the past, finished. But in the spiritual world, it's there eternally, ever present. No birth, no death, no old age, no disease. Everyone is Navayovana. Everyone is number one. Everyone is full of love. Every word is a song. Every step is a dance. Every thought is a thought of love. And every act is an act of devotion. Is that not a better place to... Can you imagine how wonderful it is to live like that? Should we not want to make that our number one priority? Hare Krishna. Any other points? Yes. Microphone.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, as you said that Vaishnava accept only Krishna Prasad. We don't accept food given by non-devotee.
This was an instruction given millions of years ago.
Yeah. So what should we do when, if a non-devotee offers food to Krishna, should we accept that as a Krishna Prasad?
Okay, the question is, if a non-devotee offers something to Krishna, should we accept that prasad? If a non-devotee offers something to Krishna, does it become purified? Anything Krishna touches becomes pure. So why we shouldn't accept? If a non-devotee offers something to Krishna, is he a non-devotee? Think about it. Anyone who offers anything to Krishna is a devotee. He may not be topmost devotee. He may be the first devotional act he's ever done. But Lord Chaitanya says, any person who once in his life chants Krishna's holy name, to him I offer flat-out dandavats. That's Lord Chaitanya. Maybe you have different opinion, but that is his opinion. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.